The church has been born. With Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit has descended among us. And through this novena, we have gone through the seven gifts, or six of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today, for the last gift, wisdom, we get to celebrate the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. And as we celebrate this feast, we notice something very, very odd, or I notice something very, very odd in our readings this morning. Both the scene from Genesis and from John are rather bleak. Eve is banished from the garden and becomes the mother of Adam's fallen children. Mary, who faithfully and sinlessly follows her son to the cross, sees him die in agony. Now we might wonder, why all the suffering on such a joyful feast? I think this is somewhat providential for our novena to St. Peregrine. St. Peregrine is the patron saint of cancer patients. His patronage is for those who suffer because he himself suffered. He acutely felt the fallenness of human nature through the pains he endured in his very body. But Mary, watching the death of her son, felt more sorrow in her soul than St. Peregrine ever could have in his body. Maybe all our sorrow and all the sorrows of the saints points to the motherhood of Mary. Now, many of us in our lives, we suffer in a variety of ways, whether it's sickness, family trauma, the death of a loved one, and all sorts of other things, big and small. The pain can be present in both body and in soul, and sometimes it can be very difficult to make sense of it all. Mary, as our mother, reveals to us the wisdom of Christ and his presence in all of our sufferings, right? When we talk about wisdom, we talk about knowing God himself, having the knowledge of God as cause, and seeing his providence work in the world, having a sense of what his will is. Often when suffering comes about, we do not see it coming. St. Peregrine did not. In the case of Mary, she already knew what was going to happen beforehand. Before the scene in today's gospel, she knew when Jesus was a cute little infant what was going to happen. Right, the prophet Simeon tells her in the temple, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be contradicted." She learned that a sword would pierce through her very soul as the lance of the soldier pierced through the side of her son. Imagine knowing that you will witness your child's agony, and through it all, you will suffer with him. Mary knew what would happen, and she knew she would suffer immensely. And while she might not have known the exact details that were going to happen in Jesus' rejection, she knew he would be rejected, and God would use that rejection to produce a greater good. In it all, she knows the moment of adversity is there to produce sanctity. Her wisdom reflects what I think is actually something of a natural feminine intuition that men often lack, to see God's plan. What do I mean by that? What I mean is that when Christ is handed over and led to the cross, all but one of his male disciples still follow him, St. John, who is at Mary's side. But Our Lady and a group of pious women that were with him from the beginning, all follow along. The pious women have the right intuition. They should remain faithful. They love Christ and know that they should stand by him in his time of trial. Mary doesn't just have the right instinct. She does have that, but she also knows that Christ is using the suffering to produce a greater good. Mary has the gift of wisdom to see that God is calling her through this adversity to something incredible. She knows that Christ calls us to redemption by persevering through suffering. Decades before Mary stood at the foot of the cross, she experienced small moments of suffering, and when she does so, she ponders them all in her heart. That all our suffering is a call to overcome adversity. The little moments of suffering with Mary when she began her journey to Bethlehem, when there was the slaughter of the holy innocents and the finding of the child Jesus in the temple, she is called, or was called, to see her son's heroic act on the cross and all the small sufferings in life. At the wedding feast in Cana, she knew the couple's misfortune, to have no wine, came to pass so Christ could work with them in their time of need. In her little sorrows, the mother of the church contemplated the mysteries of the cross in the infant Jesus and in her own anxieties. As a simple peasant, she pondered the mystery of Christ's sufferings well before any theologian could ever put pen to paper. She is the sign that we will have to go through great sufferings in this life, and that's okay because the merits of Christ are there to call us to greatness. As I think of the example of Mary and her care for us, I am compelled, to think of my own mother, not because my mother is perfect, but because a mother's love and care reflects the Blessed Virgin's care for all of us in the midst of our sorrows. Now, my own mother tended to see the face of Christ very well in all my sufferings, so much so that she always forced me to go to youth groups, teen retreats, and prayer groups against my will. Protest I did, and suffer I did. It was motherly care by force, if you will. But she always had the sense that as my mother, she needed to push me to the church. I thought this was, at the time, all pointless suffering. But somehow my mother saw the face of Christ in it all, and she earnestly prayed for me. As I mentioned earlier this week, during the end of high school, I was eventually strong-armed into going to a young adult group. And again, I initially thought it was needless suffering and a very, very boring task that I just did not want to do. And while I didn't like it at first, what ended up compelling me to become interested in my faith was the Catholic intellectual tradition. I found it quite compelling. And I made a lot of friends at the group. There is something very, sort of the warm embrace of the church there, if you will. What this ultimately prepared me for was the death of my father. Now, I don't want to give you a sob story, but during that time, my father died suddenly and very tragically. Ironically, in the midst of that trial, I was able to see the church as my mother. I was given good Catholic friends and solid teaching. With that support, I had at that moment a piece of wisdom. My suffering was there to give me adversity to overcome. It was for my sanctification, right? It was a call that in suffering, I need to be a good example to my siblings. I'm the oldest of five children. It pushed me to know that. What was once the source of so much boredom became the rock of stability for me, right? It was a sense that the church was there calling me to holiness. I would not say that I became an instant saint from that situation, or am a saint right now, but it definitely pointed me in the right direction and manifested to me that the church gave me motherly care. All of us experience suffering differently. My suffering is my own. My point here is that in the moments of suffering, they are moments to persevere and grow through adversity. All our sufferings are there to unite us to Christ in some mysterious way. And it does not mean that it will always be obvious. What we are called to do is to look for Christ like Mary did, to ponder those sufferings within our hearts. Mary, our mother, embodies the church in her saving sacraments, patience, saints, and warm embrace. She weeps with us as we weep and mourns with us as we mourn. Though she intercedes for us, it does not mean that we will not suffer and feel sorrow. She had the gift of wisdom to see that God was calling her to suffer for the redemption of us all as she was united with her Son on his cross. By prayerfully reflecting upon the mystery of suffering, we can persevere through the misfortunes of life. Our God does not abandon us, and we can always turn to him no matter how much we hurt. Let us follow Mary's example and seek her intercession as we too follow her Son.